Amen. Let's look in Acts chapter 1. We'll share a message entitled The Glories of Heaven. Now, Acts chapter 1 will be our starting point, and we'll just let the Lord lead us through different passages of scriptures considering this concept of the glories of heaven. Acts chapter 1, and we'll begin reading verse 1 there. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, and to the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking to things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had thus spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be together this morning. And Lord, we rejoice in the fact that we can sing songs that speak about heaven. Rejoice in the fact that Jesus is coming again. And Lord, we'll be able to experience in a very personal way throughout all eternity the glories of heaven. And I pray, Lord, there might be someone here this morning who's not saved. You would touch them, Lord, and bring them to faith in Christ that they might be gloriously born again, be able to know that they'll be able to enjoy the blessings that await us in heaven. But I pray for every believer that we'd be stirred in our faith, we'd be challenged anew, Lord. We'd be excited about the fact that we know that life is more than what we're experiencing here and now. But God, what a glorious time it'll be when we get into the presence of our Savior. And so, Lord, I pray you'd bless the preaching of the Word of God in a special way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text verse is verse 10 and 11. It says, while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. It's amazing that these two verses, there are four times these men are angels, I believe, from God, are acknowledging the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. And they speak to the disciples in reference to them gazing in the heaven. And so the glories of heaven. In this life, we have many sorrows and difficulties we have to go through. However, Psalm 30 and verse 5 says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. The hope of the believer is that we're going to spend eternity in heaven. And we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. We're going to be with our loved ones and be able to enjoy all the rewards, as it were, of God's promises that were made to us through our faith that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus gave the disciples much hope about heaven before he was crucified. In John chapter 14, he identified heaven as being a place of many mansions. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. I'm thankful that he mentions that there are many mansions in heaven. I always get tickled sometimes with these newfangled translations that say, well, there's many rooms in heaven. You can have a room. I'm looking for a mansion. Amen. And I'm basing that on the promises of God. And Jesus gave a word to his disciples to encourage them that heaven is identified as a place of many mansions. But not just that, but he announces the fact that he's going to prepare a place for them. And I'm thankful that the Lord is preparing a place for you and for me in heaven. You know, this world, we're just passing through. We're just pilgrims. We're not planning on staying here for eternity. We're planning on spending eternity in the presence of God in heaven. So he announces that there was a place he was preparing for you. He acknowledges his return for the believer, because in verse 3 he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so the glories of heaven is based upon the fact that Jesus promised not just to prepare a place for us to dwell in, but he has promised that he's going to come and receive us up in the glory. And the songs that we sang this morning speak of the reality of heaven, about the return of Jesus Christ. And the Christian has something to look forward to, and that is Jesus is coming again, hallelujah, be their Savior. He acknowledged not just his return for the Christian, but he encouraged them with the reality of the reunion that'll take place, because he said that where I am, there you may be also. And so Jesus gave some in-depth insight, if you will, to these disciples about what they were going to be able to enjoy in heaven. And then he concludes the matter with the only way to gain this place, dwelling place of heaven, is through faith in Christ and Christ alone. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we have the assurance that heaven is real, that heaven is our home, that it's a glorious place that we'll be able to spend all eternity, not just with our loved ones, but in the presence of God himself. USA Today did a poll on people who were very rich and wealthy in the United States, and they wanted to know what would they be willing to pay for certain things. And they found this in the poll they took, that there were those that said they would be willing to pay $407,000 for great intellect. Now, I don't know where that number comes from, $407,000. Maybe that's the cost of a college education nowadays, amen? They said they were willing to pay $407,000 for great intellect. They also found this in the poll, that they said this, that they were willing to pay $487,000 for true love. And my goodness gracious, I'm glad it didn't cost me $487,000 to find true love 40 years ago. Praise God. But this is an interesting thing. They said this. They were willing to pay $640,000 for a place in heaven. The sad thing is man can't buy his way into heaven. And the sad thing is man can try to purchase all that the world can possibly offer and to be able to gain and to enjoy. But the glories of heaven cannot be purchased with money. It only can be experienced through faith in Jesus Christ, who came in this world, died for the sins of man, that man might be saved and be able to enjoy eternity in the presence of God. So the glories of heaven. And if you can't buy your way there, you can't trade your way there. Certainly it is a glorious place to be, because even the wealthy acknowledge the fact that they're willing to pay great amounts of money just for the opportunity to be in the place that we know is called heaven. And so these men are watching, the disciples are watching as Jesus is taken up into heaven, and they're seeing the glories of heaven in the person of the Son of God. So first of all, let's consider this, glories of heaven, that Jesus Christ is the only mediator in heaven. And there's only one way to get there, and that's through Christ. There's only one who's going to intercede on your behalf, which is Jesus Christ. And so he is identified in the scriptures as the only mediator of the new covenant that we have with God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, but there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. then identifies why he is the only one who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And so the glories of heaven is that we have Jesus Christ is identified in the scriptures as the only mediator of the opportunity for us to get to heaven. You can't get there through any other means. You can't get there through any type of religion. There's only one means through which you can approach a holy God, and that is through Christ and Christ alone. And man tries to establish all kinds of ways, all kinds of means to be able to get into the presence of the Lord, but there is only one mediator that's identified in the scriptures, and that is Jesus Christ. You can't go through a religion. You can't go through experiences. You can't go through other individuals. You must go through Christ and Christ alone. And so Jesus is the only mediator in heaven identified in the scriptures. But also he is secured, this matter of him being the only mediator, is secured in the integrity of God. In Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 18, speaks about this matter of Christ being our sacrifice for our sins and being the mediator of the covenant of God with us. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into the within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so this matter of Christ as the mediator in heaven is secured based on the integrity of God. These two immutable things, that it's impossible for God to lie. And based on the integrity of God, then we have one who intercedes for us at the throne of grace, and that is Christ and Christ alone. If there is other means and other ways in which we can approach God, then God has lied. God has not been trustworthy, and he has not been honest with us, but the integrity of God secures the reality, but there's one mediator in heaven, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24, we see this matter of Jesus as a mediator in heaven magnified in that which is eternal. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24, Hebrews continues to tell us about this Christ who is our mediator. It says this, "For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." And so it's magnified, Christ as the mediator, it's magnified in the reality of all eternity that Jesus Christ appears before God in the presence of God for us. And so the glory of heaven is that we have someone who is representing us at the throne of God, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was it magnified in that which is eternal, but Christ is glorified in the sacrifice of himself once for all. And Hebrews chapter 10 says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." And so we have Christ being glorified in the reality of his sacrifice of himself once for all. And so we don't need somebody being sacrificed over and over again. We don't have to be like a lot of religions where men literally torment themselves and torture themselves to try to appease a holy God. Christ was already sacrificed. He already suffered. He's already experienced everything that is necessary for us to be able to be in the presence of a holy God. And so the glories of heaven involve the fact that Jesus Christ is the only mediator in heaven. There's not any other means through which we can go through. neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so we need to identify the reality of the glory of heaven is there's but one mediator in heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. That's important for us to know nowadays because of the concepts that are being presented of all these aspects, of all these ways that we can possibly get to heaven and be right with God. And the reality is there's only one person that will do that for us, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the Savior of this world. He is the mediator in heaven. Well, not only is the glories of heaven based upon Jesus as the only mediator, but the glories of heaven is that joy is the essence of heaven. Joy is the essence of heaven. We look at life that we have to deal with, sorrows we have to go through, difficulties we have to face, and yet there is joy that is in heaven because of the fact that Jesus Christ has provided a way for us to be redeemed and saved and be in the presence of God. The Lord is worshiped by angels in heaven. In Isaiah chapter 6, we know this, the great chapter where Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up. He sees the angels flying around the throne of God crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." And the glory of heaven, the joy of heaven, is the worship of the angels of our God. It is not a depressing situation. It is not a decaying situation. It's an evolving expression of joy and excitement because of the fact that we're in the presence of God. You know, people say, "Well, I don't know why you want to be saved. I don't know why people want to go to heaven. Who wants to go to heaven? I want to be able to enjoy all the wicked stuff that's going on in this world." Well, the reality of the glory of heaven is the worship and the praise of the Son of God on the throne of God. It is a place, the essence of heaven itself is a place of joy and a place of excitement. And so the Christian is going to go there and enjoy that one day because of joy that is expressed of the angels celebrating and rejoicing in the presence of God. Notice that the Christian is identified in heaven. You know, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus sent the disciples out, and he sent 70 out to go and preach and prepare people of the cities for the coming of Christ into the cities. And they came back, and they were rejoicing because of the fact that the devils had to be in subjection to them. And Jesus tells them this in Luke 10:20. It says, "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." I'm thankful this morning that the Christian is identified in heaven because his name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. We are identified by God himself as being his children, and we are in his presence. Whatever you can enjoy down here in this earth and whatever you might go through in this earth, there is nothing that compares to being identified as a child of God in glory in the presence of God. And so the joy is the essence of heaven because of the fact that Christian is identified in heaven as being the child of God. I'm glad this morning that I can be identified as a child of God. I'm glad that as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I'm thankful through faith in Christ, my name is written down in the Lamb's book of life, and I'm identified in heaven by God himself. And so the joy of heaven, joy is the essence of heaven. Not only is the Christian identified in heaven, but the newly saved produce joy in heaven. You know, in Luke chapter 15 and verse 7, it says that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. I want you to know this morning that it's still exciting in heaven when somebody gets saved. Somebody trusts Christ as their Savior. You say, "Why should we be involved in winning people to the Lord?" If nothing else, you might as well get plugged into the joy of heaven. The joy of heaven is when people get saved, the angels in heaven are rejoicing over the sinner that got saved. And so they're newly saved, produce joy in heaven. Our loved ones will meet us in heaven. You know, in Luke chapter 16, it says that Lazarus died And it says that he was in Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and he was in hell, lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. The Christian's experience is that when Jesus Christ comes again, we're going to be raptured into the presence of God, and we will ever be in the presence of the Lord with each other throughout all eternity. Our loved ones will meet us in heaven. You know, my father's already in heaven, and I'm looking forward to someday when I get there and I'll be able to see him again. I'm thankful that my great-grandmother was saved, and I'm thankful that I have her Bible. My mother gave me her Bible when I felt God called me to preach, and I can read through her notes. But it'll be amazing when we get into heaven and be able to see our loved ones in heaven again. You know, my mother-in-law is in heaven, and I'll be glad to be able to see her. Yeah, actually, my mother-in-law I'll be glad to see. Amen. And I'll be glad to see her in heaven. And I'm telling you, the essence of heaven is that we're going to be able to see our loved ones in heaven and enjoy the glories of heaven in the presence of God together throughout all eternity. The suffering and difficulties we have to face in this life are overwhelming at times, but the thing that keeps us going and walking with God and worshiping God and serving God is that life is more than what this world has to offer. And the very essence of where I'm going to spend eternity is filled with the joy of the Lord. So our loved ones will meet us in heaven. The joy is the essence of heaven. Christian is rewarded in heaven. You know, you are going to get a reward one day when you get into the presence of God. I'm thankful the Bible has much to say about rewards that God has for us. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, it tells us that we are to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And so God has a blessing, God has a reward for you to be able to enjoy when you get into the presence of God. What life are you living building up rewards for heaven? You know, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ not to have our sins judged, but have our works evaluated. And all of us will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ so that we might receive from the Lord either a reward or we will suffer loss depending on how we lived our life and what we did for God. So the Christian is going to be rewarded in heaven. What rewards are you building up for the day when you get in the presence of Jesus Christ? Not only that, but there's happiness is exercised in heaven. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 16 says, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I'm thankful that the essence of heaven is that there is joy in heaven forevermore. Listen, it's easy to get through trials and difficulties in this life when you realize how blessed it's going to be when we get into the presence of the Lord in heaven. I think sometimes we forget of the rewards that are waiting for us. I think many times we forget of the blessings that we're going to be able to enjoy. I think many times we forget of the people that we can lead to Christ that we'll be able to see when we get into the presence of God in heaven. And I think we live much of our life consumed with what this world has to offer and what we have to deal with in this life, that we lose the essence of joy and excitement as a Christian because we forget what heaven's going to be like. Well, I can tell you this, I'm not morbid and I don't rejoice over trials and difficulties, but I'm going to tell you it's the reality of what's waiting in heaven that keeps me going. The joy is the essence in heaven because Jesus Christ is the mediator in heaven. Well, I see another thing in here on this matter of the glories of heaven is justice hinders many from going to heaven. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25 says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" I think many times we forget that God is the judge of this earth. Many times we forget that Jesus said that there's one that judgeth us in the last days. He said, the words that I speak unto you shall judge you. And John chapter 12 and verse 48. And we do have to give an account before the Lord. And there's multitudes of people who will never be able to go into this place called heaven, experience the glories of heaven, because of the fact that they have rejected the one who is the eternal judge of all who possibly can go to heaven. And so justice hinders many from going there. Notice, first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50, that the physical cannot inherit the spiritual. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 50, Paul puts it this way, but this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And so the physical cannot inherit that which is spiritual. And oftentimes what we do is we think we can approach spiritual things from a physical realm in which we live. The positive aspect is this, is that which hinders me here will not hinder me there. We live in a physical realm that many times is hindering our ability to walk with God and live with God. The flesh takes over. The temptations overwhelm us. But the reality is that when we approach God through the Spirit of God, that we can overcome the temptations that are in this flesh. We can walk with the Lord. We can fellowship with the Lord. We can experience the forgiveness of the Lord, not saying how I'm going to get to heaven on my own merit, my own ability, but rather we inherit heaven because of the spiritual aspect of being born again by the Spirit of the living God. So justice hinders many from going to heaven because they're trying to be spiritual through the physical. And listen, we have to realize this, that God has created us to be spiritual beings. God has established in us that we are not to live according to the lust of the flesh, but rather we are to walk in the Spirit so as not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so we don't want to be hindered in going to heaven because of the fact that we are consumed with fleshly desires rather than spiritually approaching the throne of God. Notice not only the physical The physical cannot inherit the spiritual, but rather the works of the flesh cannot enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. And so oftentimes in Galatians chapter 5, Paul reminds us that watch out for the works of the flesh, because you cannot be spiritual and be fulfilling the works of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and revelings of such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I don't understand why we want to try to say, well, there's a gray area. I was reading a thing by a Christian author that's on the radio, and I was looking up something about a present-day trend with Christians drinking alcoholic beverages. And I could not believe it. This is a well-known preacher. And I was reading it, and he was like, well, you know, this is a gray area. And I thought to myself, a gray area? The Bible says, be not drunk with wine. The Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The Bible is not a gray area when it comes to the works of the flesh. And Paul says, I want you to know that they that do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. We're uncomfortable with that. We don't want to identify that. We don't want to be direct, but the Bible's direct about it. And so then he goes in and starts to explaining the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And so if I'm living according to the fruit of the Spirit, then I'm not going to be consumed with the lust of the flesh. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, Paul says, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, justice, the justice of God, hinders many people from going to heaven because of the fact they are consumed with the thought process that they can live a life that is vile and wicked and still be able to get to heaven. You know, I don't believe a person can lose their salvation, and I believe if somebody's really saved, I believe there's going to be conviction on their heart to abstain from these types of lifestyles and these types of things. Why? Because we understand the Bible is very clear that this type of action and conduct will not be accepted of God, and you will not be able to enjoy the glories of heaven. And so justice hinders many from going to heaven, the justice of God, not the justice of man, the justice of God. So the physical can inherit the spiritual. The works of the flesh cannot enjoy the fruit of the Spirit, but the unbeliever will not inherit that which the believer receives. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7 and 8, reminds us what the unbeliever is not going to be able to enjoy. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 7, it says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And here it is, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. See, the problem is this. The unbeliever thinks he's going to be able to appease God by buying his way to heaven. But the reality is, an unbeliever has no hope of being in the presence of God throughout eternity. The only thing he has to look forward to is the judgment of God to fall upon him as he is cast into hell. And the negative aspect of this is that the unbelieving absolutely will not go to heaven. Now, there's people you know, there's friends you have that are unbelievers. There are coworkers that you work with that are unbelievers. There's people in your neighborhood that are unbelievers. And listen, there is a glorious place called heaven, but they're not going to get there if you're not going to share with them how to be saved. You're not going to reach out to them and try to help them to come to faith in Jesus Christ. The disciples were impacted by the witness of Christ's ascension into heaven. And I wonder sometimes how much are we impacted with the reality that Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. The disciples were impressed with the hope of Christ's return to take them to heaven. Now, Christian, we have a wonderful God. We have a wonderful Savior who has ascended up on high, and he has promised that he is coming again as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be when the Son of Man returneth. And Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. And I've often stood amazed at those statements that I find in the Gospels by Christ. But as we get farther down the road, the farther away from God that we get, the more disdain we have for God, the more concept that we develop in our own mindset that we think that God should accept us, irregardless of who we are or what we are. Folks, I just wonder if there will be faith on the earth when Jesus Christ comes again. It is alarming to me to watch how far away from Christian, godly Christian principles that people who claim to be Christians are living in light of. We have been so far removed because of the culture that we think it's okay to continue this course of rebellion against the holiness and the preciousness of Christ. Now these disciples, they stood there gazing into heaven. They were amazed. I don't know how far they saw into heaven. I don't know exactly what they comprehended when they saw Christ being ascended into heaven. But I mean, I'm going to tell you one thing. They were overwhelmed with the reality that there is heaven. He's going to heaven and he's coming again in like manner. And it changed their life. It changed their zeal and their desire. And multitudes would come to know Christ as their Savior because of that. Why? Because they acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ is the mediator in heaven. He is the only means through which we can worship God, and that is through Christ and Christ alone. The joy is the essence of heaven. Everything about heaven is a time of rejoicing. I believe that God has to wipe away the tears when we realize how much we actually forfeited of what we could do for the glory of God. I believe God will have to wipe away all tears when we face the reality of loved ones who are lost and burning in hell. That it's going to take a miraculous touch and anointing of God to wipe away the tears that will overwhelm us. Why? Because the essence of heaven is joy. It's not weeping. It's not suffering. It's not corruption. It's holiness and purity. And it's the presence of God. And we enjoy that presence and experience throughout all eternity. However, the reality is, because there is only one way through Christ, there's multitudes who are without hope. Their flesh can't get them there. Their religion can't get them there. Their money can't get them there. Nothing they do or nothing they're consumed with can get them there. And so we need to be stirred to reach them for Christ, that they might know Christ as their Savior, so they might be able to enjoy the glories of heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you that we can be assured that heaven is our home because of faith that we have in Christ and his sacrifice. We're thankful, Lord, that the throne of God is full of praise and worship because Jesus encompasses the throne. We're thankful, Lord, that one day we'll be able to be consumed with the reality of worshiping a holy God because of our relationship we have with Christ. But Lord, we're reminded there's multitudes who need to hear, multitudes that have no hope. And Lord, they're not going to be able to experience the glories of heaven. And so help us, Lord, to reach out to them that we might lead them to Christ. And we'll praise you, Lord, for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's